What a beautiful song about making a difference in the world. Today's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 13. Hear the word of God. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to share with you a short little story from St. Augustine. St. Augustine was walking along the beach pondering the Holy Trinity, the three persons in the undivided eternal essence. The more he pondered, the more perplexed he became in the midst of his thoughts. He came upon a little boy with a bucket, running back and forth to the water, carrying a bucket full each time to pour down a hole in the sand. Augustine asked, "What are you doing?" The boy replied, "I'm trying to put the ocean into this hole." "Foolish child," chuckled Augustine. Then it dawned on him, "I've been trying to put the infinite God into my finite mind." Wow, isn't that powerful? It sure is. Yet, this is what we believe. In Jesus Christ, the eternal stepped into time. The uncreated substance took on form in a woman's womb. In Jesus, the finite became capable of the infinite. This is what we believe. And it is a mystery. Two things we can't do. We can't deny the Trinity and still profess to be a Christian. This is the fundamental basis of everything about being a Christian. In the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. We can't deny the Trinity and still profess to be a Christian. But yet, we also can't comprehend it. So what are we to do? No worry. This is where I get to say something that blesses me. This is a mystery. And it doesn't mean that we don't know anything. It just means that as much as we learn, we realize we don't know everything. There's yet more to know and to be revealed. But what we have come to know has gripped us and changed us and saved us. It's a mystery. Mystery is one of the things that we've lost in our modern world because we reduced everything down to an explanation. Augustine said, "Listen now, if you can explain God, you don't know Him because He's more than your minds can think and your lips can speak and your heart conceive." Always something beyond, not that it's unknowable, but it's incomprehensible. Well, I'm going to put on my theologian's hat right now. Some of the theologians have attempted to share what the Trinity is in this way. We believe in one God. The Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The most quoted verse in the Hebrew Bible by Hebrews, Jewish, the Jewish faith. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." This is what we believe. We believe in one God. But then when Jesus came along, and then later on as the scriptures were written down, we began to read the scriptures and we began to see that in scriptures there is something revealed to us, to help us understand this mystery a little bit more. And it goes something like this. We see that in creation, we know that in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, God was present. Yes, God the Creator. We primarily understand God as Creator. But we also see in Scripture something else. The Spirit, the wind, the Ruach, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, blew upon the face of the deep. Holy Spirit present. And then, of course, in John's Gospel, the prologue, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Without Him, not one thing was created. Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, all present at creation. So, one God in three persons. It is not good math. One in three and three in one. Do you kind of sense what I'm talking about? But yet, take another look at the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, God spoke, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him." The heavens, of course, opened up, and a dove came down to alight on Him. And that dove was God's Spirit, Holy Spirit. There you have God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. And so the more that we read in Scripture, while the Scripture never has the word Trinity there, nor does it ever say, this is what the Trinity is, we see Scripture revealing to us an understanding of God that we can only put in terms of a Trinitarian viewpoint. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so we as Christians simply say this. We cannot say all there is about God until we say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yet we do not fully comprehend it. But we know that somehow or another in that is who God is. And so throughout the ages, we've pondered this. Holy God, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. Three we name thee, though in essence only one. Undivided God we claim thee. And adoring bend the knee while we own the mystery. Wow. You know, there's something here that's big, that's important, that's worthy. On Trinity Sunday, we don't explain it. We simply affirm it, profess it, live it. And so, one of the most important things that I can say is that's what we do. If you'll take a look inside your bulletin, you'll see, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. It's hymn number 64. We sing it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Quotes from the Apostles' Creed. Persons are confirmed in the faith by professing the Trinity. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us to do that. And whenever persons are baptized, we baptize persons into one name, God's name, God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit. O God, our Father in heaven, before whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and magnify your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The collect, the prayer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The Gloria Patri. And then I forgot the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then when I was growing up, we did Amen. We did Amen at the end of every hymn. You know, I catch myself. We don't do that anymore. I'm going, And then I'll say a little bit more about this later. But at the end of Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 13:13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God Almighty, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you all. Sometimes it's translated the communion of the Holy Spirit, but the Greek word is koinonia. It means both. Communion, blessing of fellowship. So, as the church, we just simply, you know, worship in the name of the Trinity. Yeah. And that makes sense. Can you fully explain what happens to us in worship? Now, if you can, then it's not really worship, because worship itself is a mystery. Think about it. God present with us now, but not just you and me, persons physically present, but all the saints who have gone before us are present, because we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, especially when we break the bread to share communion. The whole church is present. It's more than mind can think, than heart can conceive, than lips can speak. So do you see what I'm talking about is that somehow or another, we just, as a people of God, we've just made this into our worship. We can't say all there is about God until we say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Though it's beyond our comprehension. But listen to this. It's all about the good news of salvation. Let's take that benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God Almighty, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Do you know what's being said there? It's the greatest blessing that can ever be given to you and to me, because it has to do with salvation. In thinking about Jesus, what one word might we use? Grace. Grace. Yes, grace. What's grace? Grace is a gift. Christ doing for us what we were unable to do for ourselves when He died on the cross to save us from our sins, deliver us from sin and death. Christ in our stead doing on the cross what we could not do for ourselves to set things right with us and God. Grace, gift. It's good news in a world that doesn't understand gifts, that doesn't know how to receive gifts. It's good news. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything involved in that is incomprehensible. Forgiveness, strength, the love of God. The love of God. Well, what kind of love of God? It's the kind of love that's unconditional. The kind of love that loved you before you were born. It's the kind of love that will not forget you once you die. You were known to God in the womb. You will not be forgotten by God when you die. There's nothing that will be able to separate you from the love of God. Do you understand? Our greatest desire is to be loved. And God loves us in the way that only a God can love us. Tonight we'll be doing storytelling. One of the stories that I'll tell will be the story of the loving father, the story of the prodigal son, but I prefer to call it the story of the loving father. story of the father that when his son came back said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired servants." And he says to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." It's the God who ran out to meet his son when he came home. To say, "You're my son, you were my son yesterday, you're my son today, and you'll always be my son, and I will always be your father." Now, you fathers out there, you might try that out sometime with your own children. Because primarily, people are either blessed or hurt in families. And you fathers out there have the power to either bless or hurt. So sometime you need to take the time to say those words to your son or to your daughter. And then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's an overused word, so it kind of loses its juice over time. Sort of like the chewing gum. Sooner or later you go, "Oh, what the heck, I'll throw it out. There's no more juice in it." Well, listen, the koinonia, there's more juice in there than you will ever be able to get out. The fellowship, the communion. What are we talking about there? What's the good news about that? The good news about that is you don't do life on your own. You are placed in a family, within a community, within a church. You have brothers and sisters. You see, the greatest blessing other than salvation in Jesus Christ is the blessing that we have because we have brothers and sisters in Christ to walk with us, to be there with us when we need them. And of course, we're with them when they need us. The fellowship, the communion, the koinonia. It can't get any better than that. Grace of Jesus Christ. Love of God the Father. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Be yours. It can't get any better than that. It's a beautiful thing. And so, Saint Patrick decided that he was going to live a Trinitarian life. And every morning when he got up, he put on a breastplate. It's called the breastplate of St. Patrick. I'm not going to say the whole thing because it's like a Bob Dylan song. Turn, and it goes on forever. But he would literally get up and he would say, "Before I go out into this world wrought with dangers and perils and twists and turns and challenges, I'm going to live in the presence of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." And so part of the breastplate prayer of St. Patrick goes with this. And he's talking about putting on a breastplate, putting on the breastplate of Christ, the full armor of God, so to speak. "I bind unto myself the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three of whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word. Praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord." So every day, St. Patrick would put on the breastplate of Christ using this Trinitarian prayer that goes on and on and on forever. And guess what? I think that's the secret of St. Patrick's life. A person who was so fruitful in ministry, who had a great love for people and found favor in their eyes because they knew of his kindness and of his mercy and of his grace. And St. Patrick, wow, what a saint. Now, there are lots of legends about St. Patrick. Some people said he explained the Trinity with a little clover leaf, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't know whether that's true or not, but by the way, that would have been good if he had of. And I could have used that for a children's message. It probably made more sense to these children than what I said. Well, so what do we do? Well, you know what? Today we're going to do, we're going to take the oil of gladness and we're going to give you the opportunity to be anointed with oil in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what kind of blessing you need today in your life, but God does. And when we invoke the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that's the most powerful thing I know. And so we're going to anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't know what kind of blessing you may need, but God does. And God has the power to create, to redeem, to sustain. I found my paper that I did back when I started ordination process. You had to write a paper on, can you please explain the Trinity and who God the Father is, God the Son is, God the Holy Spirit is. Man, I made up a lot of stuff that was then. But I said, well, you know, God is our creator. Jesus is our redeemer. And the Holy Spirit is our sustainer. And they let me slide. But anyway, God's still creating. God's still redeeming. God's still sustaining. And so I don't know what kind of blessing you need, but God knows it and he can do it. And then I want you to begin every day to do what St. Patrick did. Put on that breastplate. Go out into this world. Don't live in fear, but live in the blessing of your Abba Father. And be a blessing to others. There'll be three lines here, three stations, Polly, myself, and Beth Stockstill. I don't think we can have three lines coming down the middle, so we'll have two lines. But please just divvy up and go to whichever line you want, and then go on the outside to return to your seats. If there's anyone who cannot come forward for whatever reason would like the blessing, just raise your hand. Raise your hand, and we'll bring the oil to you. But everyone's welcomed. Title of the message is The Dismissal with Blessing. That's what it is today. Let us stand.